All right. I have no disclosures to have except anxiety with public speaking. That's my only disclosure for today. But alas, here I am. My name is Noel Ramirez, and I've made a commitment to my team and to the folks at APHA to share with you all today a story that is really close to my heart. It's a story about how Antonio, Lou, Deontais, Terrence, and myself created an idea and made it a project. A story about how strangers found a home at Philadelphia Fight. And a story about a run project that was this really quirky idea, but became a critical part to our medical home in Philadelphia. So I wanted to start off my presentation unconventionally with a quote from the great Maya Angelou, because it really informs the focus and the direction of the work that is going to be presented today. And this quote is, "The ache for home lives in all of us, the safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. In my experience as a social worker in the field, I've learned that sometimes it only takes one moment, one patient to change everything. D was a 20-something-year-old man, and he would be a ghost with me in my journey in public health. I bared witness to him dying of AIDS at this tender age where most people were finishing colleges, going to happy hours, and finding their place in the sky. It was not what he said in the exam room, but rather what he didn't say. And it wasn't about an appointment that he made, but rather those that he avoided. It was about him being a stranger in his own home that would change me personally and professionally. So I began asking different questions. Instead of why, I asked what and how. How can we be different? How can we be more effective in the field? I started asking questions like, how do we make homes in our medical facilities? How do we make the lights in the exam rooms feel less harsh for our patients? What kind of homes have we created in the past 30 or so years that we've been doing this thing called HIV care and treatment? And what kind of homes do we have to welcome those who are disproportionately affected by this epidemic, especially in Philadelphia? Many thanks to Kathleen Brady at the Medical Monitoring Project and the folks of the Office of HIV Planning for providing this information to the city to give us a better understanding of how we're doing. But as you can see in these slides, the medical homes in Philadelphia need a lot of work and repair, particularly in the areas of linkage, retention, and lowering our community's viral load. And this is the Philadelphia HIV treatment cascade that shows our performance measures in HIV care. Similar to national trends, Philadelphia experiences similarities, particularly in areas of linkage to care and also suppressed viral load. We've been doing well in terms of having folks stay in care and getting ART medications, but there is still a critical public health issue. Only 30 out of 100 people will achieve a suppressed viral load, and that is still very critical. And that is what our work is in Philadelphia is being focused on. Our local surveillance data also indicates that disparities in the risk category of men who have sex with men exist. Again, similar to national trends, much of the incidence in Philadelphia is concentrated in Black African-American MSM, mostly young, mostly under the age of 44, and a sizable amount of folks between the ages of 13 to 24. And in fact, when we look closely at this data of our younger MSM cases, we note that majority of them are Black and then Latino, and many of them between the ages of 18 to 24. Thus, in discussing special populations of interest in Philadelphia, undoubtedly gay and bisexual men of color is one population that carries the burden of the disease in Philadelphia. So to give you a little bit of context and background, I work at Philadelphia Fight. We are a comprehensive HIV service organization and one of the largest in the city. Our major mission is to provide access to care and prevention to populations that are most vulnerable to HIV infection. And we do that by providing medical care, infectious disease, and we also have expanded to an FQHC to provide primary care to folks who are most vulnerable for HIV infection. We do extensive community outreach in prison, reentry services, LGBTQ outreach. We also provide community health education throughout the city of Philadelphia. And lastly, we have a very impressive social service arm that includes behavioral health, drug and alcohol intensive outpatient services, Ryan White Medical Case Management, and patient navigators. I oversee a project called the IAM program, which is funded by the CDC's announcement of PS 11, 11, 13. Lots of ones and 1-3 is what I remember, in our youth division. The overall goal of our project is to reduce HIV incidence amongst young men who have sex with men of color in Philadelphia. And the project plans on doing this by providing a series of interventions that include HIV testing, community-level interventions, counseling, and outreach. And more specifically, we've been providing PrEP as well in our FQHC clinics to young men who have sex with men. And the focus of our work is to work with younger gay and bisexual men of color under 30. And we wanted to put special focus on the following folks who have been known to fall through the cracks in our broken system in Philadelphia. And those folks are people who have been diagnosed within the past year, lost to care patients, pediatric HIV patients transitioning to adult HIV care, and young men who have engaged in high-risk sexual behavior. And we know that through our FQHC clinics and the overwhelming positive STI rectal chlamydia screenings that we do. So unfortunately, we have the capacity to provide medical care and pre-exposure prophylaxis to those folks. So I get this job in July of 2013 after my tenure at St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. I got super excited. No one has cursed me out. None of the kids have fought yet. There have been no public meltdowns yet. And I got my hands on the progress report, and I saw that our project wasn't doing too well. We were definitely not doing well when it came to linkage to care. And when it came to our performance measures in recruitment and retention, we weren't doing so hot in that department. There's a 50% retention rate with those who we've recruited in all of our prevention programs, which was not fun. The glass felt half empty at this point, day two of my job. And I thought to myself, what kind of house did I walk into? We had everything. We had the resources. We had the programs. We had the staff capacity, things I never dreamed of. But what we didn't have, and I learned very quickly, was we didn't have fun. We had programs. We had deliverables. We did not have fun, and we did not have strategy. So I was running a men's health group to elicit as much feedback in this medical home renovation project, and one person expressed his feelings in our group at the time, and this would trigger a very, very long conversation. His statement was, "I don't want to talk about my feelings. I want to get this body snatched for the summer." Snatch meaning get fit. I was blown away. I mean, you mean to tell me that 2-hour group sessions with feeling thermometers and talking about your feelings and your thoughts and your behaviors was not the norm for young people, particularly young men who have sex with men of color? I felt betrayed. And I'm a cancer and a social worker, so I felt very betrayed. The theme of vanity or wellness would be a theme that others would express with a lot of compassion. And so I decided to move forward with my team, and we did a community assessment, which took about a month, focus group surveys, and people identified that they were very much interested in an exercise group, particularly running and walking, 5 minutes, because that was cheap, easy, and available. We met with Back on My Feet, which was a run club for homeless people in shelters, and they gave us a really good design of programs, and we decided to move forward. With some hesitation of our management, but I was able to convince her to do otherwise. So month one started, and our goals were very simple. We wanted to have fun. We wanted to respond to consumer interest. We wanted to recruit members and retain members in our programs. And in this, we wanted to disseminate messages related to engagement in care. Our recruitment was simple. We had a Monday night drop-in. HIV medical providers in our team started recruiting patients and word of mouth. 4 people in our staff were volunteers and another staff members, and we started in week 1 with 7, and by week 4 we had 20 participants coming consistently. And the only incentive was to be a part of our team during the AIDS 5K, which happens every October, to get fit and free food and transportation assistance. And as we started doing the project, if you came more than 6 times, you would get free running sneakers. So what happened during run practices, we checked in, we acknowledged new members, we went over the rules, no twerking in the street was the number one rule at the time, stopping at checkpoints, encouraging other runners while we were running, and the biggest rule while we were running was we finished as a group. No one should be alone, and that was a big theme, was no one should finish alone. After the run, we had food. We watched American Horror Story, which is a very popular show that folks enjoyed. And after the run, we also recruited members to be part of our outreach team for our late-night HIV testing initiative. After month one, the critical observations were simple. People showed up. This was a first. They showed up on time. We didn't call them. They just showed up. And they encouraged one another in a world of shade. This was also very new for us. And we know we were onto something, and we were right. Within 1 year, our performance measures with linkage increased dramatically. People felt less intimidated to go to a run club than with a one-on-one counseling session with somebody else. We also saw recruitment for individuals increase when it came to retention and recruitment. Dramatically. And when we looked at the motivation, the following themes came up. A sense of community. I joined the run club because I wanted to meet other guys outside of the club. It was probably the only program and or event I saw for young people that wasn't a ball club or something that had to do with alcohol. There was this overwhelming craving for community. Health and wellness, you know, we had a lot of folks coming in who had a dissociative factor when it came to their body. I got more into my body than before. When I was diagnosed, I kind of didn't want to know what was going on. And now that I'm running, I have to be aware with what's going on in my body. So this group really gave us the space to open up these conversations about mindfulness and body. And finally, a sense of accomplishment. Folks felt really great that they were a part of something. We weren't talking about feelings. We had a goal and we had a race, and that was what was important to folks. And it was also great for our team. Our team felt really energized by this run club because we saw progress. So after year one, we recruited 50 runners and walkers. 96% were men who had sex with men, and we had an even split between 40% HIV positive and 50% on PrEP. We had three runs. The following were these runs that were great. And this really became a great mobilizing effort for our team. Runners became involved in different programs, demonstrations. They participated in It Gets Better video, and we saw a lot of weight loss. Right now, 30 pounds is the most, but we're working on somebody else who's like on pound 50 now, actually. And it raised awareness. It brought about youth issues in our agency that we had never processed before. Some lessons learned. Building a foyer to your medical home is critical for people to feel welcomed. When you open up a door in a house, you're not in someone's bedroom. You need an access point for folks. And we learned that this served as an access point for HIV medical care and or PrEP. We also saw that maintaining a right temperature in your medical home to make visitors feel welcome is important. And people really voiced their concerns during the run club and the practice. And finally, including patients to help build the home. This really transformed our once very fearful patients to becoming ambassadors of our program, and that was really powerful. Next steps, a more formalized evaluation. We want to really start tracking weight, blood pressure, and attendance to medical appointments to really assess adherence. This sparked an agency-wide fitness initiative incorporating yoga, walking, and running with different subpopulations in the agency overall. And our next run is the Love Run 10K. It's our first 10-miler, and so the guys are very, very, very excited to be a part of that. Thank you all for letting me share a piece of my home to you all in New Orleans. I wish you all safe travels to the places that you call home. Thank you very much.